Luke 2:25. Now behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I have a very intriguing, exciting title for my message tonight. I want to talk to you about maintenance. God bless you. Please be seated. Maintenance is the work of keeping something in good operational condition, whether it's equipment, building systems, cars, homes, machinery, or relationships. And maintenance means that it's not something you do once in a blue moon or when something breaks. It means you do it before it becomes urgent or a crisis, right? So regular checks and cleaning, servicing, and repairs. And if you do proper preventative maintenance, it can prevent some breakdowns. It can ensure that things function as they should for you and in your life. And they have a longer lifespan if you take care of them, if you do the maintenance. Now, the kind of maintenance that's the most boring is preventative maintenance, like regularly scheduled maintenance that prevents the failures, like routine maintenance. You're trying to keep something bad from happening, right? You're avoiding a crisis. I told my sons, raising them, that the most important thing you can do for your car is change the oil and rotate your tires. They'll all last a whole lot longer. But you might know someone, it's probably not you, but you may know someone who neglected their routine or preventative maintenance. If you have an air conditioning or heating in your home, you have a roof over your head, you might think about maintenance. Please don't overthink it while I'm trying to teach tonight, though, if you don't mind. Then there's the corrective maintenance, the maintenance you do when you didn't do preventative maintenance, right? And even maybe you tried and something broke anyway. Now, I've always been fascinated that when the children of Israel went through the desert, the years of wandering, that their shoes did not wear out. They didn't have to take them to the cobbler. The Lord allowed their shoes. But that has never worked for me. I shouldn't say that. I don't know how often the Lord kept something going when it should have broken because he just was taking care of us. But, you know, there's just nothing glorious about repairing a leaky faucet. I don't like corrective maintenance, and I'm usually kicking myself, aggravated that I didn't do the preventative maintenance, and now I've got to fix something that costs more because I didn't take care of it sooner. I have a memory, a childhood memory. I'm pretty sure it was on a Sunday morning. Our family always went to church. My mom and dad were both involved in church when we were kids. But our septic system backed up, and my dad had to dig a big trench for the field line. And I don't know if he had neglected it or it was just the fact that there were six people living in a house with one bathroom. But I just have a memory of my dad doing some repairs and corrective maintenance in our house. But if you do preventative maintenance, it does prevent breakdowns. It ensures safety and extends an asset that you have. I remember Brother T.L. Kraft talking to me one time, and he asked me if you owned a piece of machinery. Nowadays, $100,000 is not a real expensive piece of machinery. He said, but if that's how you made a living with that piece of machinery, wouldn't you take care of it and make sure it was in good working order? He said, well, your body is how you earn a living and how you do ministry, and you need to take care of yourself. And it was very convicting when he told me that. And then there's the kind of maintenance that some people do, and that's deferred maintenance. You know you should take care of something, but you just don't. You put it off. I've had the I'm going to call it a privilege of being connected to two institutions that had very little money, colleges. And so they couldn't afford to do preventative maintenance. So then there were a lot more expensive problems like tuck points and plaster that would blow off the walls of the college or roofs that were falling in. And I saw the effects. And we see that in life, in relationships, in the souls of men and women that we know who knew to pray, knew to fast, knew to read their Bibles, knew to walk with God, but just put it off for one reason or another. Takes time to pray. Doesn't feel good to fast. Dr. Braden Anderson in a group text that we're all in about the Jesus Tent Revival was telling us that when you fast, you will have some physical problems, as if we didn't already know that, but he gave us the medical side of why your blood pressure is affected by that and you might have a headache, etc. But I've seen firsthand the consequences of what should have been maintained that was not, whether it was a soul or a marriage, a family, a church, that maybe just the pressures that were on a person caused them to live by pressures and not by priorities, and they neglected what just seemed mundane and routine that became a crisis in their life that was certainly preventable in every way. Jesus told about people who were more interested in aesthetics, the look of things, the appearance of things, than the reality of things. So the Pharisees loved to make the outside look good. It's kind of like having a really pretty house with a really leaky roof. The infrastructure is not strong. And he told them, he rebuked them in Matthew 23 because they had the outside looking really good, but underneath was not so good. One of my favorite books of all times by Gordon MacDonald is Ordering Your Private World. And he talks about the sinkhole syndrome when underground streams drain away in seasons of drought. And people seem to be doing well on the outside, but they've not maintained their inner strength. And all of a sudden, there's like a spiritual implosion. They seem to crumble in a day, but it's because of a lack of maintenance, of spiritual maintenance in their lives. So whatever it is that you might apply this message to, I want to encourage you about the importance at the beginning of this year of just plain old boring maintenance. I remembered an old reading. I'm not sure it's a poem, but perhaps you heard this. It's a proverb that Benjamin Franklin did not write, but he included it in his Poor Richard's Almanac in 1758. His version is a little longer. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. And for want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of the rider, the battle was lost. And all for the want or the lack of a horseshoe nail. Now that's a really old reading, right? A little proverbial poem kind of writing. But here's a guy that has a horse, that has a horseshoe, that has nails in the horseshoe. It doesn't seem like a very big thing at all, but he just didn't make sure that the horse was properly shoed. It was just one horseshoe nail. All of the horsemen and women among us know how important this is. There's another little saying like that that appeared in Thomas Fuller's 1732 collection of proverbs. And it might come from the world of tailoring or sailing. It goes like this. It's really powerful. A stitch in time saves nine. How many of you did not know this? It's not a scripture, so it's okay if you didn't know this. That means you're probably under 50 years of age or something like that. A stitch in time saves time, not saves nine. And what it means is if you address a problem early on, it's going to save you a lot of trouble later on, right? Just one stitch may keep the whole garment from unraveling. I was thinking about some things Jesus said, Matthew 5:25. He said, agree with your adversary quickly, while you're in the way with him. In other words, if you have a problem with a person, make it right as soon as possible. It's only going to get worse. Just stitch it up now before one issue becomes nine and you've got a lot worse problem on your hand because you didn't do the maintenance. Paul wrote, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." He said, and this is a good thing for marriages, right? Don't go to bed mad. Resolve your issues quickly. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. What was he saying? Take care of problems right away. They're only going to get worse if you don't deal with them while they're small. A stitch in time saves nine. Now, that's not a scripture, but there's a lot of scriptural principle behind some of the sayings and thoughts that people have learned over life. And whether it's home maintenance or your health or a relationship or your walk with God, taking care of the small stuff prevents the big stuff from falling apart in your life. Amen? So I encourage you to repent quickly. And forgive and keep a clean heart. Don't let sin build up in your life. Amen. Now, we're only about 12 days after Christmas. It's not the 12 days of Christmas, but Christmas was not that long ago. So I'm inside the statute of limitations for Christmas preaching, okay? When a Jewish mother had a baby, she was ceremonially unclean. Now, I don't know why the partiality slanted toward boys, but should be unclean 7 days till that eighth day of his circumcision, another 33 days to the 40th day when that boy would be presented to the Lord. For a girl, it was 62 days. And so there had to be the removal of this ceremonial uncleanness and then the restoration of the mother to full fellowship with her family and the other brothers and sisters of Israel. And only blood could do this. So if you had the means, you would offer a lamb. If you were poor like Joseph and Mary, you would bring two turtle doves, and that was an indication of their poverty. So 40 days into Jesus' life, Joseph and Mary take him to the temple for this double rite of the purification of Mary and his parents and for the redeeming of the firstborn. You see, every firstborn belonged to the Lord, but with the Levitical priesthood, you could redeem that son from the priestly obligation. So there was a lot going on for this baby dedication that was taking place in the temple for baby Jesus, 40 days old. For about the cost of 5 shekels or maybe $4 or so, you could redeem your son. Don't you wish that's all it costs to get your kids back? Luke 2:22 on the screens. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So meanwhile, while Joseph and Mary are preparing to present Jesus to the Lord, they need a priest or someone to be a part of this. God is working on the other side of the equation as he always does. Luke 2:25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, Simeon doesn't really have any credentials. You read about this in commentaries that try to make him maybe the father of Hillel and try to make him a priest. And he could have been a priest. He's in the temple there, but he's not in the holy place or the holy of holies. The ceremony probably took place in the court of women. And there's a gate called the Nicanor Gate. And one commentator said that the women would be there for this rite of purification. There's probably more than one baby being dedicated on this particular day. But we don't really know. But Simeon comes by the Spirit into the temple. And in this place where Jesus is going to be presented to the Lord, verse 25 again, this man Simeon, Jerusalem. He's just and devout. So I want to talk about him for a few minutes because there's a lot behind a few verses about this man. He is just, I'll talk about this later, and devout, and he's waiting, amen, on the Messiah to be born. And he's waited a really, really long time all his life for the Messiah to be born. It's called the Consolation of Israel, and Isaiah wrote about this consolation in Isaiah chapter 40, "Comfort ye my people," and there's a beautiful passage there about their sins being pardoned, and John the Baptist would come, and the glory of the Lord would be revealed. It's an amazing passage that talks about what would happen when the Messiah came. But here's what I want you to see about Simeon. He lived through every season of life with no fulfillment of a promise. He lived through his teenage years. We don't know anything about a wife or children or grandchildren. But he lived through his early adulthood, middle adulthood, later adulthood. It would appear from this passage, he's waiting, and when he sees Jesus, he said, "Now I can die." So I kind of have the impression that he's an older man when this happens. But while Simeon is waiting for this hinge of history to take place in his life and the history of the world, Simeon is not living loose, not living on the edge, not being a casual Christian. There are no Christians yet, but a child of God. But Simeon is maintaining his walk with God. He is just. He's devout. He's waiting on the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost is on him. He's led by the Spirit. While nothing is notably happening, nothing notable is happening in his life, he's still living for God. Now, I was a youth pastor, and I've been around a while, and I know people who live from conference to conference, or revival to revival, or big event to big event, or Sunday to Sunday. And I read this one time that some people go to church on Sunday and then they give God the rest of the week off. That's not us. You're here on Wednesday, so at least you've got that, right? No, but I know you. I know this church. And you live what I'm teaching about right now. But I'm reminding you, and I will tell you that I felt the Lord a couple of weeks ago clearly impress me to teach about this. I've never taught on maintenance. Just like this, or Simeon just like this. But I think you get it. That is every day making sure that we put that nail in that horseshoe, making sure that every day, if a stitch has come loose in our walk with God, that we stitch that back up. And then we don't wait a week or a month or hope we have a really good preacher come by. You know, we do this because there's this maintenance and we're living for the hope of eternity, but we have to see the value of a day because all of life is not that hinge of history that I preached about Sunday. Remember, all moments are not created equal, but if you remember, I said every moment matters. Every stitch matters. Every day in your walk with God really matters. So he has all hope, no fulfillment. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel to come. The Bible tells us to not cast away our confidence. We have great reward for hanging on to it. And the writer of Hebrews said, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. God doesn't work with microwave promises. Usually it's a long process. And I've taught about this. There's the birth of a vision, the supernatural fulfillment. The Lord told Israel in Deuteronomy 8, I believe, that, you know, I tried you and I tested you. I wanted to see if you would really be faithful to me through the wanderings of the wilderness. Amen? Verse 25 again, the Holy Ghost is upon him. Now, he doesn't have the Holy Ghost like you have the Holy Ghost. He hasn't been baptized with the Spirit. But like men and women throughout history, God was working in Simeon, and Simeon has maintained a lifetime of godliness, prayer, devotion to the Lord. He's just and devout, all right? waiting for something that will one day happen because God has promised it to him. Verse 26. Media team is so happy I finally got into verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I don't know when the Lord told him that. Was he 20, 30, 50, 70? You know, how many decades had Simeon lived with a promise? And despite the fact that that promise had not yet come to pass, he maintained his justice, his just walk with God, his devotion to the Lord. Amen? He didn't give up. And I thank God for that. I mean, think about this. The world waited for thousands of years for this to happen. If you're reading through your Bible, you're past Genesis 3, hopefully. The first promise of a Messiah is in Genesis 3:15. Right after the first sin, God says, the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of the serpent. And from the first sin, we have the first promise of a Messiah. So the world has waited for thousands of years for Jesus to come. And faithful men and women of Old Testament history maintain their walk with God. Verse 27, and it came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. So here is now this hinge of history for Simeon. I mean, his whole life comes down to this moment. Think of that. And after this happens, we don't know if he died soon or lived another 5 years. We don't really know. But from Simeon's perspective, I've lived my life maintaining a walk with God for this one. How long did this last? 5 minutes? That he was there in the temple holding baby Jesus, prophesying over his life, over Mary. Gives him back to Mary, walks off the scene, and we never hear from him again. But he never quits maintaining his walk with God. Now, I preached about him Sunday, so I'm not going to go through his words of Jesus or to Mary, the blessing over them. But that's in that same passage. You can go back and reread it if you want. But I just want to drive home this point that Simeon maintained his walk with God. Now, I could say a lot about just, and I have a lot in my notes about being just, but it's morally pure. If you are a builder, you'd say square on all four corners. This guy is the real deal. And he's also devout. He's not just a righteous person. He's got a really bad attitude, and he's fervent in the spirit. He is devout in his walk with God. And we know he's maintained it for a very long time. There's two Hebrew words about just and a Greek word about just. And Simeon is just and devout. He's walking with the Lord. And the early church was like this, and this church is like this. And I just want to encourage you that every day, as you know, is not going to be a high day, an exciting day. And I thought it was a little ironic that our flooring for the platform that was supposed to be here Monday, so everything would be ready to go for Wednesday night, and we could hype you up a little bit before I taught. And here we were. Thank you, Ryan, with acoustic guitar, and all the stuff is pushed off to the side. They came late. Always takes longer, costs more, there will be problems. And but I kind of smiled to myself thinking, now this is what a lot of churches have every day. And people are not leaning on the worship team or a band or a soundtrack or track or a click. They're just doing spiritual maintenance, amen? And waiting for the promises that God has given to all of us. If you're able, please stand. Simeon has the Holy Ghost working on his life. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to never devalue the power, the cumulative power of just spiritual maintenance, of doing the daily devotion, the disciplines that make for great, solid Christians and marriages and homes and churches and societies. And in a world that is caught up with the moments, I pray that God would help you be caught up with the maintenance.